Good morning. There we go. Yes, thank you to Cheryl and Cindy for the beautiful organ piano duets. I love that when they do that. And next Sunday morning, they'll do more of the same. More duets, different songs. So we'll look forward to that also. Good to see everybody here today. It's a beautiful morning. We're in the week of Christmas. It's hard to believe, isn't it? But here we are, and so exciting. And the sanctuary is beautiful. Thanks to all who've shared poinsettias and or flowers in memory of loved ones. We appreciate that. So some announcements I need to go over. Christmas Eve, Friday night, service is at 7 o'clock. The program with candlelight service and the offering, you see in the bulletin this year, we're doing something different than we have for a lot of years. That evening offering will be divided between Swan Lake Christian Camp, which is where most of our kids go to church camp in the summer, and Healing Hope Ministries. I'm not going to read it, but there's a little description of what that ministry does. They're over by Alcester. We had them here in 2017 for our Mission Fest. So that's where it will be divided, both places that minister to children and or families that have lost a child. Christmas Day. So Christmas Eve is at 7. Christmas Day is at 10 in the morning. Okay. Why 10? I don't know. When I arrived here, that's when I told it was. So the ladies had to get home and get their Christmas dinner out of the oven or something like that. So that's why it's 10 o'clock. Just make sure you realize that. That offering will be for our care center here in Menno, Menno Olivet Care Center. There's always needs there. The needs are great financially, but also for staff. You know, if you want a job as a nurse or a CNA or dietary, please, please consider it. There are openings there. Let me see, what else? There's some missing coats. There, we put them out here in the narthex above the wheelchair. They've been here for a couple months now or more. Some nice coats, and one is a little boy's black jacket. So if that's yours, then check it out. Also, Ann and I wanted to say a big thank you to the church for the storage shed at the parsonage. Wow, praise the Lord. We don't have everything in it yet by any means, but that won't be a problem. You know how that goes. So thanks to all who helped work on that this summer, and it's a great, great blessing. Next Sunday, there will not be Sunday school classes, just worship service, and that goes back to our regular time, 10:15, the prelude duet music, 10:30, worship service. I want to say a special thanks to the ladies that have done the lunches for the program practices, and a big mistake I see I have in the bulletin. I had Chandra Schultz instead of Chandra Van Zyl, and her husband asked me if I knew something that he did not know. I said, no, JR, that's just a brain, you know, how it goes. So sorry, Chandra and JR. Everything's good. Okay. Last thing I need to mention is there are extra granola bars, the little, we call them cuties, they're those little Tangelos or whatever, and some apples from the program practices. So they'll, I guess, be on the counter out there of the kitchen after church. Help yourself, please, to whatever you would like there. A lot of other announcements. Please read those as you have time. And let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we worship you and we praise you. Lord, we love this season of Advent. And as we're coming in very soon to the season of Christmas, it is such an exciting time of the year. Every day, we see the excitement in the hearts and minds of the children and the smiles on their faces, and it just brings joy to our hearts. And the beauty in the sanctuary of the tree pointing to heaven, because this is all about you, Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. The poinsettias and the flowers, all for your glory, in remembrance of loved ones who've gone on before. But Father, most of all, we are here gathered in the name of Jesus Christ, the name that is above every name. We are here to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we thank you for your presence that is already here, filling this place by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Thank you for moving among us in such a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen. And our Advent readers, girls, you can go over there. I'm having the eighth graders read this year. These girls did 2 weeks ago as well. Lexi and Amanda and Madison, and before they start, if there's anyone that would like to do the reading on Christmas Day, please let me know after church, okay? I need somebody for that. Go ahead, girls.
On this fourth Sunday of Advent, God's desire to be with us is so great and his love for us is so amazing that he chose to send his only begotten son to this world. The angel told Joseph to give the Christ child the name Jesus because he would save his people from their sins.
Our scripture reading today will be from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 30 through 32. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High."
Today, as we light the fourth Advent candle, our hearts are filled with praise and thanksgiving as we declared what We declare what the scripture says. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Jesus Christ is the light of the world who came to save us from our sins. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who was slain from before the creation of the world. Thank you for your wonderful plan of salvation and for sending Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. Today we pray for those who do not yet know Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. We ask that you would draw them to yourself by the Spirit of the living God. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, girls. Appreciate that. Let's stand and we'll sing our opening hymn, "O Come All Ye Faithful," 249. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. O sing, all ye bright hosts of heaven above. Glory to God all, glory in the highest. O come, let us adore. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory. Glory give. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Amen. What a beautiful hymn. Thanks for singing it out. Take a moment and greet those around you, please, before you're seated. Okay, we'll have our sharing of joys and concerns here this morning. Several things I've written down. We have the joy of two babies being born this week in the congregation. First was on the 16th, which was Thursday night. Is that right? Thinking. Stephanie and Howard Herberg, Stephanie Gehring by maiden name. She had a little girl named Lillian Aelita. Herberg, 7 pounds, 1 ounce, 20 inches long. That was Thursday night. Then yesterday morning, Maria Handel, that's Austin and Maria, she gave birth to a little girl. I don't have her name yet.
Yeah.
I do have. Okay, I guess we do. Well, she was 8 pounds, 6 ounces, 21 and a quarter inches long. Cecilia Rose, that's pretty too. So Lillian, Aelita, and Cecilia Rose. Congratulations to the families that are here. That's exciting. Prayers for Adrienne Nuss. She has knee surgery tomorrow in Sioux Falls. We pray that that all goes well. Kayleen Eisenbry had that surgery on her kidney on Monday. There was a tumor in the kidney, cancerous. The good news is it was enclosed in a membrane, so they were able to get it out and leave the kidney there. So that's a big praise the Lord. Also, Elton Herbolt, he's still recovering from the surgery he had probably a couple weeks ago. It's just been a slow go for him. So continue to lift Elton and Myrna in your prayers. We had a note yesterday for Doug and Linda Handel, Linda's mother, Marilyn Ripperda, and she lives over in Minnesota. They found an aggressive cancer there with her, and she'll be going into hospice care. Dylan Hofer, Jim and Deb Christensen's grandson. This is the eight-year-old little guy where they found a rare sarcoma of the skin on his arm. So looks like they did a phone conference with Mayo Clinic, and plans are to have something rolling in February for a surgery. So be praying for Dylan and the family there. Okay, I think that's all I had down. Anybody else over here? Way in the back, Sydney. Savannah Summerside's birthday is this Tuesday, and she's going to be 7. Happy birthday, Savannah. Yes, Grayson. Today is Grayson Dangle's birthday. How old are you?
9.
All right. Happy birthday, Grayson. Yeah, Ellie. Your grandma broke her arm. Okay. Your mom, Amy? What's her first name again? Marlene. All right. Sorry to hear that. Okay. Tomorrow? Happy birthday, Glenn. This week. That's right. Yes, I texted you. Happy birthday. Anybody else here yet? Okay, how about over here? Oh, yes, Ivana. Yeah, yesterday was Ron and Rena Schaefer's anniversary, not anniversary. Almost said. Brian. Jesse Gehring's birthday is today. Happy birthday. Lots of birthdays. Okay, over here. Okay, all right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this time that we pause to celebrate our joys and lift up the prayer requests. We pray for Amy Fisher's mother, Marlene. Sorry to hear about the broken arm, and We pray for wisdom there, if surgery is required, or what the plan is, that you guide the doctors as they make those decisions. And Lord, we trust that your healing power is already at work there in a mighty way. Thank you for watching over her. Be with Adrienne Nuss as she goes in tomorrow morning or tomorrow for surgery on her knee. We pray that that can go well. We thank you for the wisdom that you give to the doctors there. We pray for her recovery time. Thank you for Kayleen Eisenbry, the good news that they were able to leave the kidney in and get the tumor out of there. And thank you that she's been having a pretty good week. And we just ask that you continue to renew her strength day by day. And we pray the same for Elton Herbolt through this time as it's just getting a little bit long for him, Lord. But thank you for patience and strength and healing through his body where those incisions were done. Lord, we pray for Linda Hondel's mother, Marilyn, and the family, as I'm sure the decision was not easy to take the step to hospice for her care. But we pray for Marilyn and the family and just ask you to hold them close in your everlasting arms. Lord, thank you for the babies born in the congregation this week, to Stephanie and Howard, a little girl, Lillian, and to Austin and Maria Hondel, a little girl, Cecilia. We rejoice with them, and we just thank you, Father, for your goodness and for all the little ones in the congregation and some that are still in the womb and coming after the first of the year. Lord, thank you for watching over each of these families and guarding and protecting them, keeping them safe. Father, we want to pray for the people of Kentucky, continued prayers there where the storms and devastation was so much and so bad. Thank you for those that are able to go in and minister and help. And we do too in various ways, but certainly in our prayers. And through Iowa, where there were storms as well, doing damage to farms, be with these people and watch over them. Lord, we pray for good traveling weather through this week and this weekend as families all gather in to celebrate your birth, Jesus, and your life. We love you and thank you for that. We pray for our troops, Father. Thank you for watching over them. Some I know that are getting to come home to family, some that are not. Lord, we think of Logan as he's in basic training and is away for this holiday time, the Christmas season, but thank you for being with him. We know you are watching over him. We pray that for all of our troops around the world. Thank you for keeping them safe. For our nation, Lord, we pray for healing throughout this nation. We pray for our leaders, our president and vice president, our congressmen and women. Guide them by your spirit, Father. Your word says the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and you turn it whithersoever way you will, even as you turn the rivers of water. Thank you for your blessing upon this country. Help us to serve and live for you. And Lord, I want to pray for our healthcare workers through a challenging time again right now. Give them strength through this journey, Father. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. Paul says, so we make it our goal to please him, the Lord, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Let's stand and we'll sing the doxology, please. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Lord, yes, help us to serve you. with wholehearted devotion, with our words, with our actions, with our lives, with our giving, as we bring our tithes and offerings into your storehouse with joyful hearts, not grudgingly, not out of necessity, but cheerfully. For you have given us the best gift of all, your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. So thank you, Lord, as always, for blessing these gifts and multiplying them for the work of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. And Lord, we confess our faith together before you through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. If the children would come, please. Johnny is going to do the message today. Do you want the pew, Johnny? Okay.
Good morning. That was loud. How many more days till Christmas? Seven? Six. Six, I think, is the right number. Well, I've got a question. Who likes to watch movies? Just about everybody, right? What's your favorite movie? Dennis the Menace. Well, that's a good one. That's Willy Tales?
No.
Looney Tunes, ah. How about you? Christmas Chronicles, that's a good one. Well, have you ever heard of the movie called The Terminator? That's an oldie. That came out in 1984. That was when I was in high school or after high school. And in this show, there was a evil person called the Terminator. And he was trying to get rid of some good people. But at the end of the show, guess who won? The good people won, right? But anyway, in the movie, he would use these three words when he didn't get his way. He said, "I'll be back." That's how he said it. He said it kind of evil, "I'll be back." You know, and he was going to come back with more evil, right? That's probably what he was going to do. Well, Pastor Mike's been talking about the second coming of Jesus, when Jesus is coming back, right? Jesus tells us to be ready, right? To be ready for his coming back. And in Matthew 24:44, it says, "Therefore you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you did not expect." Well, how do we get ready for Jesus coming back? Anybody know? Read the Bible. That's, yeah. Pray. Be ready, yep. Well, I believe that Jesus is our example when he walked and lived on this earth to be ready. He had to prepare for the cross, didn't he? That was not going to be easy, to prepare for the cross. So he had to pursue somebody. kind of like he had to pursue God. He had to ask God to help him. So he had to pray because he knew that it was not going to be easy to die on the cross for our sins, right? So praying is one of them that we have to do to get ready for Jesus' coming. And he had to trust and obey God. And for us to trust and obey God, we have to have faith. And faith comes by hearing and reading God's word, right? So once we get that, we learn to trust and obey God, which gives us strength to be ready. And he spoke God's words to other people. And God calls us to do the same thing, to tell others about Jesus. And when we do that, God strengthens our heart and shows us more of who he is. We need to be more like Jesus. Who wants to be more like Jesus? I know I do. Jesus wants us to be more like him. If we want to see Jesus in his second coming, we need to pursue him now. Not wait, we need to pursue him now, which is while we live on this earth. You know, we need to pursue his goodness. You know, the Terminator pursued what? Evil. And there's a lot of things in this world that kind of pull us away from pursuing Jesus. Not necessarily always evil, but it pulls us away from pursuing Jesus. Well, anyway, I've got this game. You kids that go to school in Menlo know and probably have played this. Some of you probably haven't. I made it. It's called I'll Be Back. Anyway, there's a red ball in there and a black ball. Let's say that red ball is Jesus. And that red ball has a magnet built into it. And the red black ball, let's say that's us. And that has some metal on it. And the goal is to get that little black ball stuck to the red ball. Let's see if we can do that. Yeah, it's stuck. That means you stayed close to Jesus. You pursued him. See how it's stuck on there? So that kind of reminds us of staying close to Jesus. And when you're in school, and you kids that go to Menlo School, when you see that game, remember what Jesus did for us, that we need to stay close to him and be thankful for him, okay? Okay, we're going to pray, but first of all, I got a gift for each one of you. It's a cup of popcorn balls. And when you eat these popcorn balls, when you eat the first one, I want you to think of what Jesus did for us on the cross, his first coming, and thank him for it while you're eating it. And the second one, I want you to think of his second coming, to be prepared for his second coming, to pursue him now, okay? So remember when you eat them, they've got them back here. You guys go get them from, to remember Jesus loves you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus' first coming, for his life, his death, and his resurrection. Father, help us to prepare to pursue Jesus now with all our heart, soul, and mind, so we will be ready for Jesus' second coming. Father, we love you. We praise you for your goodness, for your love for each one of us. Help us to live our lives with a thankful heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Johnny, for sharing, for the gifts. Your kids should have come out of program practice with a little booklet from Ann and I for their Christmas. So praise the Lord for the children and the excitement in their hearts. Here in a moment, Caden is going to play special music for us, the Carol of the Bells. So whenever you're ready.
Thank you.
Thank you, Caden. It's beautiful. Beautiful as always, and a treat for us to have you play it over Christmas, and a treat for your piano teacher to be here, Linda Kreneisel and her husband. Thanks for all your time in teaching him that. What a wonderful blessing. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word. Father, thank you for music. I guess I think most of us here, Lord, couldn't imagine what life on this earth would be without it. It brings us such great joy, and you minister, Lord, through music in such incredible ways and by the power of your Spirit. So we thank you for gifting individuals such as Caden and many others musically. Lord, as we look into your word, we ask for the Spirit of the living God to be with us, to open the eyes of our understanding as we search the scriptures regarding your second coming, which we are very excited about. Let our minds be set on you. Let our ears and hearts be open to the message you have for us today, this day. And Father, I ask that you would speak through me by your Spirit to those gathered here this morning. And I do thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We are in 2 Peter chapter 3. We did look through the first 10 verses last Sunday. The theme this Advent has been on the second coming of Christ. So I'm going to begin in verse 10 and go on from there today. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Doesn't sound like there's any question there, does it? No, not at all. Verse 11, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Amen. So as I started last Sunday, why is Peter preaching this, the second coming? Because false teachers already then, just 30 years after the resurrection of Christ, false teachers are already coming in, trying to tell him, oh, it's not going to happen. Some cases they were saying it already did happen and you missed it. So he's teaching, reassuring them what's going to happen. Now, I don't have time to review last Sunday or else we won't get through today, but you can always go on YouTube or the church website to catch it. So verse 10, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. It is going to happen. Just as surely as we read with the high schoolers, it was at prayer time this morning, Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, or at the exact time, God sent forth his son, born of a virgin, born of a woman, born under the law, at the exact time, And so it's going to be at the exact time when he comes again. No doubt about it. But what is our focus supposed to be on then when we talk about the second coming? On many things. Sometimes, and it is exciting to study it from the Word and to think, how is this all going to happen? How are the events all going to fall into place? And we should study that. But we can't ignore the question of how are we supposed to live in this time of waiting. And that's what these verses today are talking to us about. The second coming of Christ should continually be producing in our hearts and minds and lives a radical change in our behavior. That ought to be always on our mind. What if it's today? What if it's today? Should I be doing this? What if it is today? Maybe I better not be doing that. We need to think about that. It's like when you're driving to Sioux Falls, and I think we all know, should know, if you're going through Turkey Ridge, you better watch it. If you're going through Davis, you better watch it. You can go through there a lot of times and be just fine, but you can also go through there, and there's that Turner County Sheriff sitting right there, or the Highway Patrolman sitting right there, just waiting. And if you're going faster, there could be some judgment, right? A fine. It was a couple years ago, I come through Turkey Ridge, just zipping along over that hill, on my way to Sioux Falls, and I wasn't doing 45 either. I was probably still doing 60. Coming down, right, bam, there his lights go off. He's sitting right there. I just pulled over right in front of him. He didn't even have to move. Gets out of the car. I'm sorry, sir. You know it's 55. I do. I'm sorry. Well, next time, slower down. Thank you. I will. And I do. Every time that is in my mind going through. It changes our driving patterns when we know those things, doesn't it? So the second coming of Christ, the same way it should affect our everyday lives, not just here at church. At the office, at school, on the farm, on the road, at work, at play, whatever. The question is, what kind of people ought you to be? Since everything's going to be destroyed like this, how should we live? And I'm going to go through 6 points here in these next verses where he tells us. Number one, very easy points, but living holy and godly lives. You're filling in your blanks. Number one, verse 11, you ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Holy conduct, the King James says there, that's our outward actions. And godliness, that's our inner attitudes and thoughts. So it's dealing with both parts of our lives of how we need to live. In our heart, always, and that should be, I believe, why we're all here, is a desire to please our Heavenly Father. And Jesus is our Lord and Savior. With the help of the Holy Spirit, to be on our best behavior. It should be like when you were dating. I think we all, most all, in that dating period of time, we were on our best behavior, right? Should have been. Young ladies, if the guy that you're dating now isn't on his best behavior at this point, then you better get rid of him because it's not going to change when you get married. No, it affects our actions because we're hoping for what is to come, right? The engagement and the wedding. And so we think on the second coming of Christ, and it affects our decisions and our actions. Many times here throughout the scriptures, again and again, God is instructing us as believers in our daily lives because how we live matters. It does. We're living in a large part where the culture of today says it doesn't matter. Do whatever you want to do. Fulfill whatever lust of the flesh, desire of the flesh you want to fulfill. It does not matter. No, it does matter. It does. Romans 12, 2. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How about 1 Peter 1, 16? God said, be holy, because I am holy. How about 1 Peter 2, 11? Dear friends, I tell you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires. 2 Peter 1, 4. So that you can escape the corruption that is in the world caused by evil desires. I mean, that's just, what, one, two, three, four passages out of many, many that speak to us. Now, I could spend a full Sunday on every one of these points, so I'm just going to touch on them today a little bit. Second, how should we live? We got to live for eternity. Live for eternity. He says there, you ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire. The elements are going to melt in the heat. But in keeping with the promise, we are looking forward. Two times right there, he says, we're looking forward to the second coming of Christ, to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of the righteous. Life on this earth is not the end. And we all surely better know that here. But interesting, I had an awesome conversation this week with one of our college students who's back on break. I don't want to say who. But I tell the high schoolers this often in Sunday school. You might not get challenged very much on your faith right here at Menno High School. But when you leave here and get off to college, you are going to. So this person has a roommate who claims that he is an agnostic. Agnostic. What does that mean? They claim that, I looked it up again so I'd have it in the definition, claims nothing is known or can be known of the existence or the nature of God. That would be what an agnostic says. They claim neither faith nor disbelief in God. So different from an atheist who says, oh, there is no God. Don't even talk to me about it. An agnostic is like, well, there could be, but he has no dealings with us. I neither believe or disbelieve. So this person and his roommate and two other on the floor had a discussion on this for 3 hours one night this fall. And three of them were believers and this one not. So I said, praise the Lord, that's good. That's how you start growing in your own faith. You got to look things up. And what are you going to say to this guy who's claiming these things? No, we look forward to the second coming of Christ. We live for eternity because we believe and we know that when our last breath on this earth comes, it is not the end. There is a heaven to gain. There is a hell to shun. And they are both very real. Regardless of what people try to say, it is true. There is. So four times, well, let me say this here. Your letter A there in that verse 12. Verse 12 is talking judgment. Judgment we see four times in verse 7, verse 10, verse 11, verse 12. He says it again four times in different ways that the earth is going to be destroyed by fire. That settles it pretty good, doesn't it? It's not maybe. It is going to happen. Destroyed by fire. I said last Sunday, we talked about that. From what the reading I had, scientists, the element of tungsten that they know of yet anyway is the one that has the highest melting point of all the elements in the earth. And that is 6,500 degrees Fahrenheit, pretty hot. The core of our earth is 12,400 degrees Fahrenheit. And as I said, every so often it belches up and we see the volcano, the molten lava coming out. Things are going to be destroyed. God is going to do it supernaturally. Yeah, yes, the earth goes through cycles. It does. It always has. We're going through a cycle right now. Yeah, do we have to take care of the earth? Yes, we do. But one day it is going to burn up. I heard something on the news here a while back, these scientists saying, you know, if we keep going like we're going in the global warming, then it was like in 2 million years, the earth is going to be so hot, we aren't even going to be able to live on it. I said, seriously? You honestly think we're going to be here 2 million years from now anyway? I highly, highly doubt it. God is going to give the word and it will be destroyed. So, but when is that, you say? It's not first, we're waiting for the rapture of the church. That's next. 7 years of tribulation. Then the second coming of Christ, then the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ on this earth, which is going to be pretty awesome, where Jesus is going to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords on this earth. Then, after that, comes this destruction that we are talking about. So we won't be in our lives now here to see it happen. It won't. Letter B, verse 13, then is the reward. Verse 12 is the judgment. 13 talks about the reward. But in keeping with the promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Revelation describes it in detail, chapter 21. John sees the vision of, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. The New Jerusalem, the dimensions are given, 1,400 miles in length and in width, 1,400 miles each way. Do you know how many square miles that is? 1,960,000 square miles. Just to get a picture, I thought, okay, let's start at Minot, North Dakota. And wonderful thing about Google and all that we have. And how far down do we come to 1,400 miles? Well, Houston, Texas will get you to a little, just a barely over 1,400 miles. This is the New Jerusalem. How about, I thought, well, let's try Las Vegas, Nevada then, coming east. Las Vegas to Branson, Missouri. Just over 1,400 miles. That's a pretty big city, isn't it? Pretty incredible. That's what we're looking forward to and how glorious that will be. Third, okay, these others will go quicker, I think. Third, living at peace with him. How should we live knowing what's coming? Live holy and godly lives. Live for eternity. Live at peace with him. Verse 14, so then, dear friends, since you're looking forward to this, the New Jerusalem and all of that, make every effort to be found spotless and blameless. That goes back to verse 11. And at peace with him. Make every effort. So I think we all know the first step of that is knowing Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That's how we enter into that, living at peace with him. And I always say whenever we sing, "It is well with my soul," if a person does not know Jesus as Lord, it is not well with their soul. They are in serious trouble. But knowing him, we are at peace. And I like the amplified of that phrase. It says that we would be found in him in peace. That is the inwardly calm. The inwardly calm with a sense of spiritual well-being and confidence, having lived a life of obedience to him. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? It means that peace, we can rest in him no matter how hard or terrible life could become, especially as we are heading towards the final destruction. I don't know when it is. None of us do. But every day is a day closer, and we see the world getting more chaotic and more crazy, and we see things lining up, the globalism, the one universal, one currency that people are pushing for. And all these things are signs of what will be in place when the Antichrist steps into power. It's going to be. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you," on the night before the cross, right? Even though he knew the next day was going to be very bad. "My peace I give to you. It's not as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." Because we dwell in him, Psalm 91. "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." That's that place of protection that he gives. Number four, living to proclaim the gospel. What manner of lives ought you to live? Living to proclaim the gospel. Verse 15. "Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him." Okay, so verse 15 is tied right together with verse 9, which I didn't read today. What was verse 9? It said this: "He is patient with you, not wanting any to..." Thank you. One or two. "Perish, not wanting anyone to what?" Thank you. "But everyone to come to repentance." He's patient with us. So that patience, the Lord's patience, is for us to be busy telling the message of salvation to others, telling others about Jesus. We can't just grow idle waiting. "Oh, I'm right with the Lord, so that's all that matters." No, that is not all that matters. What about our neighbors? What about our coworkers? What about our family members who do not yet know the Lord? Boy, that should be a matter of prayer. It should be a matter of sharing as the doors open. And that's a whole other subject. We can't isolate ourselves from society. That's not the answer. We can't grow indifferent to those who don't know Jesus. We have to be busy. Number five, living with biblical discernment. Got to live with biblical discernment. Why? Verse 17. "Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this," and know what? That there's false teachers and stuff who are going to be out there, and there are, "be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position." There always have been false teachers. There always will be. Even Jesus said in Matthew 24 that we looked at the first two Sundays of Advent, he said this, false Christs and false prophets are going to appear, and they're going to even do signs and wonders, that if possible, they could even deceive the elect. Be on our guard against false teachers. Nobody knows the day or hour. I talked about that probably the first Sunday of Advent, I suppose. You're going to have people setting dates on this. No. And that's part of the reason, I think, why scoffers come that make fun of it. Back in the year 2012, remember that Mayan calendar, that whole thing, the Mayan, that ancient tribe of Indians, and they had a calendar from ancient times that went all the way to the end of the year 2012. And it got bunch of people stirred up. "Oh, I think the world's going to end at end of 2012. I remember that time I even saw a comic in one of the newspapers making fun of it. And so when those things happen, that does not help our cause at all. But we just got to be on our guard. Don't fall for that stuff like that. Six, last one. Living for spiritual growth. Always. What did verse 18 say? "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever." As long as we're on this earth, for sure, we got to be growing in our faith, in our walk with the Lord. You do not ever arrive, and I don't think anyone in here thinks they have. I hope not, because if you think you have arrived spiritually, then that's a big sin right there of pride. It's always growth, 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 and we always learning more from the Word through study, through Bible studies, through personal study in devotion. It has to be. If you can tell me every statistic, and some of you can, which is okay, what I'm going to say. Some can tell me every statistic about this athlete, that athlete, football, basketball, whatever your favorite one is. And yet we come to some Bible questions and it could be like, what? What? I don't know. Well, we need to know. We need to know most of all about our Lord and Savior and about His Word. Grow in grace, he says. 1 Peter 2, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that you buy it, that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Lots of babies in the church, praise the Lord. Young parents, it's a good example to think, do I crave God's word as much as my little boy or my little girl screams out for the milk when he or she wants it? And doesn't quit until they get it. That's the comparison he's making for us today. So what kind of people should you be? Yes, milk, she says. What kind of people should you be? All of those six things are goals that we work towards as we wait anxiously for his second coming. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, that's a lot to think about right there from your word. And I pray that we would take those points and think on them through this week, Lord, and pray about them. Maybe one area convicted us more than another. We're like, oh, ouch. Yeah. So help us by your Spirit, Father, to draw near to you ever closer every day. As we look forward to your second coming, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go tell it on the mountain is our closing hymn, and maybe we're going to, are we having a duet here for this one? Yeah, maybe, something? We'll see. Okay, let's stand up. 258, a surprise. Tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching, oh, silent flocks by night, tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lowly manger, the humble Christ was born, and brought us God's salvation. And everywhere, go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Amen. Thank you, ladies. That was beautiful, wasn't it? I'm so excited about Christmas Eve. How about you? and Christmas Day. It's going to be glorious. Please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thanks to all helping to work so hard for the program, too. Takes a lot to put that together. Cindy and Cheryl, thanks. They put in a lot of time, and they're going to do some more postlude duets, it looks like, for us.